Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Special episode here for you today of Real Ghost Stories Online. We're also streaming this on Facebook Live as we record it. So we'll take some live calls on today's episode. We got some good stories for you as well, including a fun sorority field trip suddenly loses its excitement. And a spiritual leader in a family knows there's something competing for attention in their home. Our phone number to call in if you are watching this live right now on Facebook Live is 662-25-GHOST. That's the way to get stories into us live if you are listening to us on the podcast. Well, after this is being recorded, you can, of course, call the regular phone number there. 855-853-4802. I always have difficulty remembering the two phone numbers when we're doing a live cast. It's like I'm programmed just to give the live one when we're doing this live, and then I forget that we have another phone number. Anyway, that's the ways to call in your ghost stories. Please do 662-25-GHOST, calling your ghost story to us. If you're watching us on Facebook Live right now, we'd love to get some of those stories, and we'll take your call live, interact, and chat. Or if you have a question, you can get it to us that way as well. So please do dial us up. Let's go to our first story here, and I should also mention our Facebook Live users right now. Please do comments, questions. We can we'll do some of that throughout this episode as well of Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go first of all now to our first story that is written into us. And Jackie writes in, "Hello, I've been a listener for a couple months now and love it. Definitely makes the workday go by faster." So thank you guys for that. You are welcome. I want to share a couple of stories about a friend of mine, childhood's home. I grew up in upstate New York in a small town named Manlis. I became very close with a friend during 7th and 8th grade, and we'd frequently get together at her house. The first two stories I'd like to share are instances that happened to my friend while she was growing up in this house. My friend and her older sister would frequently be home alone after school because both of her parents worked until early evening. My friend was sitting in the living room while her sister was upstairs in her bedroom. My friend heard her mother yell to her father, "Honey, can you help me with something down here?" To which her father replied, "Sure." The girls were home alone. She said the voices mimicked the parents' voices perfectly. Her parents came home from work 2 hours later. The second story revolves around the two rooms in their house that have the most activities: the living room and kitchen. The kitchen was set up in a way that if you were washing dishes in the sink, to your immediate left was an open doorway that was the entrance to the adjacent living room. Oftentimes, when my friend's parents were cleaning up in the kitchen, they'd see a man in formal black attire and a top hat passed by the doorway in the living room. The problem is that once you walk through the doorway into the living room, there was a computer desk and a wall. Definitely no room for someone to walk past. The kitchen sink has a window in front of it. Looks out into the backyard. My friend and her sister were playing outside one day on the swing set, and it was a joke with their mom that was there swinging. They'd often wave goofily to their mother repeatedly while she was standing at the kitchen sink inside. There's also a large glass sliding door immediately next to the kitchen sink window that you can see the dining table through. After swinging for about 20 minutes, the girls waved to their mom, who was standing at the sink washing dishes. Their mom waved back. My friend said that her mom looked kind of weird as she waved, almost as if she was sad about something. She also said she didn't look real, almost looked transparent. Immediately after waving to their mom through the kitchen window, the girls looked to the left at the sliding glass door, and they saw their mom sitting at the dining table waving back to them. They looked back at the kitchen window again, and their mom was still there washing dishes. They looked back at the dining table, still there. How is their mom in two places at once? After about 10 seconds, the image of their mom at the sink disappeared. I'm not sure why a ghost would frequently impersonate a family member, either by sounding like them or appearing like them. I've heard the demons sometimes enjoy impersonating people to mess with the living. But the house environment never felt ominous or intimidating, just strange. The last story I'd like to share actually happened to me in this house. My friend had about four girls over for a sleepover for her birthday, including myself. But the house was small. We slept in the basement where they had a TV and VCR so that we would be able to watch movies. The format of the basement is a little tricky, so I'll do my best to describe it. It's essentially one large room that's divided in half by the staircase that leads down into the basement. And once you reach the bottom of the staircase, to the right is the area where the TV was set up and where we were sleeping. To the left is the unfinished part of the basement where there are exposed beams and pipes, a washer and dryer. The base of the stairwell had drywall so that you could not see through the other side of the basement unless you were looking over the handrail. Because we were younger and probably still afraid to be in the dark, we left a light on in the unfinished part of the basement while we slept. The drywall and stairwell blocked the view of the unfinished part of the basement, but the light that we left on projected a block of light into the basement wall next to me. I inexplicably woke up during the early morning hours with a weird feeling in my gut. I got a little nervous because of the stories my friend had told me about her house, so I turned on the TV. After about 20 minutes, for some reason, I looked to my right to look at the light reflection that was cascaded on the wall near me. Now, this next part does not scientifically or physically make sense, which is why this is so confusing to me to this day. I was looking at the wall. A shadow of a man's head walked past the block of light. I only saw his head, as a block of light was about shoulder level. This means that there was apparently a man that walked across the unfinished part of the basement to create this reflection. Remember, I could not see into that side of the basement because the base of the staircase blocked my view. The man made no noise. As I lay there in shock, I processed what I'd just seen. Was I dreaming? I remember an outline of a man's facial profile as it walked from right to left across the block of light. What does not make sense is I remember seeing an outline of his ear as well, which doesn't add up if I am seeing the shadow of someone's profile. Also want to add that the basement only had the types of windows that were small and positioned at the top of the walls as the basement was subterranean. They also only looked out over the backyard, so car lights could not have been a factor. It was so confusing and also very scary. I kept the TV on and did not get back to sleep that night. Ended up moving away and lost touch with my friend, but I often wonder if her family still lives in that house and if they still experience these weird occurrences. My friend's other family members have seen a little girl in their master bedroom that seems to be wearing an all-white dress similar to a flower girl or church-style dress. Unfortunately, I do not know the history of the house or area of town, but I would be very interested in hearing why these experiences are so prevalent in this small suburban home. Maybe they're former owners who can't let go? Jackie, in Orlando, Florida. There's a lot of questions there, Jackie. I don't know why they would still be there. Obviously, there's so many possibilities to that. What's really interesting to me about a lot of that story is the creepiness of the double images of the mom at the kitchen table and the voice at the beginning where it sounded like the parents were interacting. It wasn't just a voice, which oftentimes we hear. It was, you heard the two back and forth. I'll be there in a second, honey. Okay. It's something, and oftentimes I think it is something that's trying to sound reassuring and safe and is seeking out the recognition, because a lot of times that recognition is then the key to having something further, that relationship, for lack of a better term, between the living and the dead or the ghost or in this case, I don't know. It's odd because it never got too dark or bad, but a lot of times you just kind of hear of like the demonic type things that are taking on other forms of things, of people, of voices, of essentially, you know, kind of being a chameleon and mimicking it to something else. So it's very interesting to think about what that could be or why that is going on. Thank you for writing in and sharing that story, though. Our phone number, by the way, we'd love for you guys to call in and share a story with us, is 662-25-GHOST, 662-25-GHOST. We are doing this thing live today. So you can call in, and we can take your call completely live here on the air and interact a bit. As I'm doing this, we're obviously recording this for the podcast as well. I'm trying to make sure that our stream is still working and everything is going good. You guys, if there's any issues with the stream as we put this out there on Facebook Live, I'm waving into the camera right now because I'm trying to see. There we go. I itched my head, and now I should be waving in just a second to see, make sure that our stream, there we go, is still current. So we are, from what I can see, it's looking good. Let's go to some of the questions that we have being posted up on Facebook Live right now. We'll do a couple Q&As, and then we will go to another story or do a call if you want to call in. Phone lines are open, like I said, 662-25-GHOST to dial us right now and share your ghost story. We'd love to hear from you guys, and or if you have a question or any thoughts on the last story or any of the Q&A stuff we're about to do. Devin Winslow says he would be doing overnight training exercises while this happened. It would not, maybe this is, okay, I'm sorry, I'm reading in the I need to start up here so that last comment makes more sense. Devin says, my husband had a few instances where he'd be half asleep and would abruptly be woken up by the sound of horses snorting, whining, or stomping around, even though the horses haven't been used on the base for training purposes since World War I. My God. That is creepy. I recall an episode in the recent past about a haunted house on a military base, and your wife asked if all bases have ghosts. I've been stationed on several bases, and I can affirm every base has haunted housing stories. And in general, ghost stories tied to it about training accidents and the like. And this is where the last comment comes. And he'd be doing overnight training exercises while this happened and would not be the only one hearing the sounds. I can imagine, you know, we talked about that on the show a little bit before, and just the sheer amount of emotions, the sheer amount of, you know, just life experiences that define human beings go on. There's so many of them that are going on a military base, whether it's just training, whether it's someone that's you know, entering the military and going from a civilian life into you know, military life. That's a big change emotionally and mentally, and especially too if someone is being deployed, and then you have a family that's still living on the base and their loved one is out. The, you know, the amount of anxiety and emotion and all of that, so heavy. And then especially if something horrible happens to their loved ones, you know, especially in times of war, and even not in times of war, you know, horrible things happen. And all the housing there, generations upon generations, especially if it's an old base, you know, have used those facilities. So not a surprising thing when you think about it, that, you know, if you had to go, what's a likely haunted place to look at? Probably a military base, you know, in all reality. Really kind of makes you wonder about some of the older, you know, more abandoned military bases that are you know, have you know, they've moved on from, and some are, you know, torn down, some sit, you know, and they just sit out there kind of on their own. And you know, some images and pictures of those, very, very creepy, and it makes you wonder if you were to be out in one of those places by yourself doing a little camp out, you know, what exactly would you experience if you wanted to capture some stuff? I'm sure there's things like that out there. Jesse writes in, not so much a ghost story, but I used to listen to you guys when I'd go to sleep. One night I went to bed like normal, and my whole dream played out the episode as I was listening. It was as if you were narrating my dream. Well, that's kind of creepy. I'm the narrator of a dream. I, you know, it's funny. I have that too sometimes, where I don't listen to the show when I go to bed, but if I'm watching television or something, sometimes the show that's playing out will somehow play into the dream. It happens sometimes. It does in others. It'd be kind of cool if you could turn that sort of thing on and off. I remember watching an episode of The Jetsons when I was a little kid, and there was a little button that Elroy pushed to determine what he wanted to dream about. And he could just choose, I'm going to be a cowboy tonight or whatever. And then he'd have that dream. And I always thought, that would be awesome. I hope that exists when I'm a grown-up. Not quite there yet, but that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Have you ever visited Warren's Paranormal Museum? Edwin says, no, I have not. I honestly think I'd be a little leery of doing so. I know a lot of people have. It'd be quite an experience to do so. I probably wouldn't turn it down. I would guess that the lady that sits across from me over there normally probably would turn down the opportunity. And I don't blame her. I mean, I think it's, you know, even I'm kind of on the cusp of should I or shouldn't I. I guess, you know, you just don't touch anything. That's kind of the rule. And, you know, do a blessing or something. I don't know. It would be very interesting. I know we've had some listeners that have actually seen it. And they've even sent us in pictures. So it would be awesome to see at some point. Edwin, what are your thoughts on Conjuring 2? I have not seen it yet. I would love to. We'll just have to figure out exactly when or how I can get out to see that at some point. So there you go. There's some Q&A so far. Guys, feel free to keep posting your questions, and I will keep answering them as we continue on with the broadcast here today. And again, please call in. The phone line is open, 662-25-GHOST. It's always funny when we give out the phone number and we do a call-in show, a live call-in show. It's like all the phones go nuts at one time when we really only have the one line to take the live call. So I'm telling you this now. Lines are open. Call right now. And the first person to call in right now, we will take your ghost story at 662-25-GHOST. Dial me up as I go into this next story, and we'll get into your call, and we'll do your ghost story next. So give us a buzz, 662-25-GHOST. Nate writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. I'm really glad to have found your podcast, since I have a personal story from a couple of years ago that I'd like to share for the first time. About 3.5 years ago, I moved from New York to North Carolina to go to law school. I lived with my grandparents in Mooresville, which is about 25 miles north of Charlotte. The first Halloween I was there, my grandfather and I decided to check out a local ghost tour that was taking place in Davidson, a town just south of us. Davidson is a quaint little college town, home to Davidson College, and has a nice colonial feel. The ghost tour was about an hour long and a short walking distance. Our guide filled us in on all the creepy local stories about early 20th century murders, the ghost of a Revolutionary War general who only shows up in February, and Annabelle's curse of Lake Norman. Some of the stories involved the old medical school at Davidson College, including one about medical students who in the late 1800s were given a stipend to steal fresh cadavers from local cemeteries. Fittingly, our last stop was the old cemetery located just adjacent to the college. I believe it dates back to the early to mid 1800s, since it contains Civil War veterans and old professors from the college. This was the creepiest part of the tour because by now it was totally dark, but the moon was out shining, making the cemetery glow an eerie blue. Our guide told us to gather in a circle on a path in the middle of the cemetery. I remember looking behind me towards the dark corner at the end of the graveyard where there was an old stone obelisk. Immediately, I saw what looked like a shadow peering at me from behind it. I only saw it for a second, and it disappeared almost as soon as I turned, like it pulled back behind the object. I remember thinking to myself that it was like a child peekaboo game with me. In fact, from what I was able to gather, it looked like the outline of a little girl with long, maybe curly hair. It even felt like I was being watched in a teasing way. I didn't say anything to anyone, as I'm a skeptic and figured that unless I had a reason to connect with the little girl in that area, what I saw was probably just the result of my tired eyes, the moonlight, and all these ghost stories. Fortunately, I didn't have to wait long for that connection. Shortly after, our tour guide pointed her flashlight to the obelisk where I had just seen the shadow. When she did, we were able to see two small crypts lying side by side next to it. Now, it's been a long time since I've heard this story, so the details may be a little off, but she explained that the obelisk marked an area where a doctor, who had been the dean of the Davidson Medical School around the turn of the last century, had been laid to rest with his wife and two little daughters who unfortunately died of illness. As I said, I'm a skeptic, but the coincidence alone is enough to give me chills. Anyway, thanks for letting me share this story. If you or your listeners are ever in the Charlotte area, I definitely recommend the Davidson Ghost Walk. That sounds like quite an experience you had there. I would love to check that out sometime. There's so many ghost, you know, walks and experiences and things like that that are out there. Sometimes it's hard to find, you know, a really good one. You know, sometimes, you know, I've been on somewhere you kind of walk away going, okay, this is extremely manufactured, and it's, you know, you don't always get the best, depending on, you know, what you're going on, and what the I guess you could say intention is of the individual that is hosting the ghost walk. Sometimes I feel like they can be very out there to profit from it, I guess, more than anything else. And it's like almost guaranteeing the ghost. I kind of like the ones more so where you're probably not going to see many real ghosts on your ghost walk, but you'll probably have a really good time and enjoy being out there and going on that walk. So it's cool to get a good recommendation for that. So thank you for that. Our phone number, of course, like I said, if you want to call in live, you can do it at this very second, 662-25-GHOST. The lines are open, and I'd love to hear from you and hear your ghost story and chat a little bit about the show. If you have a question as well about the show, anything along those lines, we can certainly take that, and we can have a little one-on-one interaction as we do this this show today. I'm trying to grab some stories from our Facebook email account, because I know I've gotten some in reason right now. Of course, the second, you know, you want to go and access something, it's not going to function properly for you. And it's only showing me like the last four emailed messages that we've received. And I don't know why, because I know there was a lot more in that inbox than that. Let me, I'm going to try and pull it up over here, actually, on my my mobile device. I don't know why I say mobile. Mobile is how I always said it. That's how I should probably continue to say it. And, well, how strange. Even there. Okay, no, now it seems to be coming up over here. Okay. Some interesting comments coming in, and let's go to some of those right now and answer some of your Q&A as we continue to do the live version of Real Ghost Stories Online. Again, 662-25-GHOST is the number to dial in at. Pull up our Facebook area again. Jackie says, my dog saw my other pass, and he was locked in another room. When he had his best friend put down, he howled the saddest cry the moment she left us. Sometimes I think, you know, animals, they know, I think, a little bit more than we do. And this is in response to Tomb's earlier comment that says, do you think pets can see the supernatural? I have 3 pets, 2 cats, 1 dog. They always stare at the corner or make sounds when they're asleep, regardless of them being a cat or a dog. They both stare or make sounds at the same time. Anyone else think pets have a supernatural connection? I certainly do. I certainly think that pets seem to have a sense that we do not. And that's one of those things we talk about quite a bit here on the show. Of, we call paranormal paranormal, but that's to us. That's where things are not normal to us. I think sometimes with animals, what is paranormal to us is completely normal to them based on the senses that they have and what they can do and what they can experience and how they perceive things. And I don't know if it's something that eventually science will open up more to and we'll be able to understand it a little bit better. But it's one of those things where it really depends, I think, on the being, or, you know, sometimes the species, if you will, as far as what can or cannot be seen. A lot of agreement there from other folks on the Facebook Live right now. Edwin asks, would you ever consider doing a live online broadcast from a local haunted site? I would. I would definitely consider doing that, especially if we can kind of walk around, do a bit of a tour. I've thought about doing that in several ways, including doing a a tour just of some places that I really enjoy or have been to that we've talked about on the show before, like Rienzi Cemetery when I was growing up and all the fun I had there. Providing I have a cell signal, I would definitely take a look at that and try and do some Facebook Live stuff from some areas. And then even do a live podcast if we can get it set up to do that as well, or end up taking pieces from that and then using that in the live version of the show or in the podcast version of the show as well. All right, we got a call coming in. Let's go to, it looks like, Amanda. Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. Are you ready for the 4th of July? Are you in the U.S.? I should ask that first.
Yes, I live in Florida.
Oh, okay. So are you all decked out? Do you have, like, a ton of fireworks ready to go, or what's your plans?
Well, but typically here in Florida, they're not illegal, but where we lived in New Jersey, they're actually very illegal to have fireworks.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting in different...
Coming to Florida, it's definitely a change.
Sure, it is. It's a very big change. In Wisconsin, there seemed... The laws are very different everywhere. It's funny because on the podcast here, when this comes out, it's going to be a couple weeks after the 4th of July. But anybody watching on Facebook Live, obviously, we're about to embark on that weekend. I noticed this last night because in Kansas here, where we're at right now, you can buy almost anything and, like, launch it within city limits, or I believe you can. Everyone does it anyway. And it's, you get a really great neighborhood show, but at the same time, you get kind of scared because you're like, oh, God, is someone going to, like, burn the neighborhood down? But with all of the stuff that they have, I noticed bottle rockets, not legal. You can do anything else practically, you know, professional grade stuff, but a bottle rocket, they seem to have issue with, and I don't know why.
Because what it is I've noticed a lot of people are very immature when it comes to bottle rockets because they don't use the very operative word bottle rocket. They try to hold it in their hands.
Sure.
And they allow them to explode, and that's how people get hurt because they're not putting them in the bottles like they're supposed to and essentially run away.
That makes sense. I can see that. That does make a little more sense to me. The thing is, you have like the rockets and everything else, so that people can blast off. That's why I get surprised that the bottle rocket that can cause, I think, sometimes the least amount of damage ends up being the object that gets banned. Well, you can have these things that just launch off like bombs in the air or on someone's house if it doesn't work out so well. But anywho, enough about fireworks. I'm sure you're calling in. You have a ghost story or a question?
I actually have another story for you.
Okay, what do you got?
To give you kind of a background story, the house that I presently live in, my father, who passed away,
mm-hmm.
And just to give you a backstory, he bought this house in 1999. And my grandfather was very much a man of habit. He always did the same things all the time. He never changed his habits. Like, I could tell you by the time of day it was, I could tell you what he was doing.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, he was supposed to pick up my grandmother from the airport, and he never showed. To kind of make the backstory short, he ended up being passed out in his own house in his own vomit. And the only reason why I know that is because I went in to see it.
Okay.
And so we basically had him in the hospital. We had to figure out, you know, as a family, what we were going to do. So we took him to hospice, and he basically passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my grandfather was very much a prankster. You know, whether it be with fireworks, whether it be with him nose or knocking on windows, whatever it was, he did it. Well, it had been maybe about 6 months after he passed, and no one smoked around my home.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather was a very heavy smoker.
Okay.
Very heavy smoker. And we're inside the house, all the doors and windows are locked, and my grandmother keeps saying, "Why do I smell cigarettes?" But you know how sometimes by a certain smell you can tell what brand it is?
Sure.
If that makes any sense?
Yep.
By smell?
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was a Newport smoker, and we kept smelling Newport and Heineken. Heineken has a very strong smell.
Sure.
So we're looking around, and mind you, there's no one in our neighborhood that smokes. Nobody's outside smoking. So she keeps smelling the strong odor of beer and cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of ignored it, kind of let it pass by. And then one day, my dad's girlfriend goes outside to get the mail, and she comes inside spooked. So she's like, wow, what's going on? She's like, I think I just saw your grandpa. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, he was sitting in his chair, smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer. So needless to say, to this day, my grandfather is very much the prankster.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I shouldn't be funny, but knowing my grandfather's personality, I find it funny. Because
sure.
He used to like to scare people. He used to like to essentially mess with people.
Mm-hmm.
And he still does it now.
You know, and that's funny. You know, I always think of things like that, and I sometimes put myself in the place of the deceased and go, what would I do if I was, you know, a ghost in this situation? And I think, you know, if I end up being a ghost at some point in my life, I would probably do the same sort of shit.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, we all make a joke now. If we hit our hand on something, or we hit some, or we stub our toe on something that he supposedly fixed, we always say, well, thanks, Grandpa. That's another one you did.
Yeah.
So we kind of, we've made it into a joke. Like, if we're working, he was an electrician, so if we're messing with the light and we shock ourselves or we bump our head on the fan or something, we go, hey, thanks, Grandpa.
It's almost
so
like...
that's typically what happens.
It's almost like he's a scapegoat, too, for some things now. He's, yeah, because this bad thing happened, thank you, did that for me. You know, it's your fault, but love you, Grandpa. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I find it funny because, I mean, like I said, he does no harm. He's
sure.
Just being funny.
That is funny. It's funny, as you were saying that one of our comments on Facebook, David Barnes says, I'm smoking a Newport right now. No Heine, though, unfortunately. So... that's how that works. But Amanda,
yeah.
thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. I greatly appreciate that.
No, thank you. You guys are awesome, and you guys have a wonderful, safe holiday.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 662-25-GHOST is our phone number to call in live right now as we do this live on Facebook and also recording this for an upcoming episode of the podcast. And this episode, by the way, will be released later in July, by the way. So if you're listening to it on the podcast, you're like, why? It's such past tense. It's hard to do a live show and then one that's going to be released later and have it all make sense tense-wise. But that's what's going on, everyone, just so we all are on the same page. Why can some of us see ghosts and others can't? Carl asks on Facebook. That's a common question, Carl. We get that quite a bit, and it's one of those things where I think it's a sensory thing. Some of us, not to say this is, you know, bad or good, but it's a perception on how we are all different. Some people are colorblind. Some people are more sensitive to heat. Some are more sensitive to sound. Some are more sensitive to taste, to touch, to smell. It's all these senses, and I think being sensed or having the ability to sense the paranormal is another one of those things where some people are higher on the scale and some people are lower on the scale. It's just one of those things I think we are born with. Is it something I think can we develop it and make it better? I think if you have a certain level of it, I think you can understand it and hone in on more of it, but I don't know that you can always create it or make it better if it's not there. That's kind of my views on that. Jessica Chavez says, hi, love the show. Love to share an experience I had. One day was just lying in my bed late at night on my phone talking to my boyfriend. As I was getting real sleepy, I told him I was going to sleep, so I hung up. Stayed up for about maybe 5 minutes, and I saw this little girl with long dark hair enter my room, which I thought was my little sister. I told her, hey, what are you doing? You need to go back to bed. I'm going to move this over here so I can read it better because the type is so tiny on the Facebook screen. I thought she was sleepwalking since she didn't say anything back to me. She then walked back out into the hallway, and I thought she was going back to my mom's room, so I decided to follow her, thinking she might get hurt since I thought she was sleepwalking. Once I got to the hallway, I didn't see her anymore, so I went to my mom's room and asked my mom if my little sister had woken up, and she told me, nope, she's been in bed with her. I was creeped out. I didn't feel any harm or anything from what I had seen. Weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. It turns out I was having a little girl. Now that my daughter is older, she has dark, long hair like the little girl I saw. I heard about kids picking their parents before they're born, which my family thinks that was the case. It's always stuck with me. What do you think? It's interesting. We've had stories like that in the past where it's someone almost seeing their child before the child's actually born. Could that be a possibility? You know, I certainly think it could be. Is it what I believe? I don't know. I don't know what I believe on that. And it's not really a matter of what I believe, because I don't like to say, you know, I have the firm belief on this being the all is without having, you know, the real answer to it. You know, there's so many things. I think it's so many people say this is fact, this is it. I think there's more to be said for someone and the thought process of just saying I don't know. I'm open to it. I'm open to hearing it. I'm open to trying to understand it. And but I don't know. I'd like to hear more about that. That's kind of the attitude I have on a lot of this stuff. I just don't know. There's certainly something to it. You can certainly say that. That's a factual thing. There is certainly something to it. What is it? What is the background? We will probably never know the answer, but there's certainly something there. Tomb says, I don't know if this is in response, it says, anyone with a wife, I have experienced my wife talking in her sleep as well as I have talked in my sleep. Have you and your wife talked in your sleep and freaked each other out? Because I've heard my wife talk some language that is of off national treasure. Oh, like in Latin? Is that what you're referring to? That would be a little creepy. Yes, it's not a frequent thing. Jenny doesn't talk in her sleep all that much. And it's usually in English, and it's usually just kind of some sort of mumbling, if you will. It's not suddenly talking in tongues or in Latin or something. And you're like, oh my God, we need to go get the crucifix right now and make this stop. But that does, you know, it happens from time to time. And I think I probably have done it myself a bit. I know I've done radio announcing in my sleep before, where I've been thinking I was on the air. And then suddenly I'm trying to do a break and I'm trying to talk. And it's like, oh, wait a second. I'm not at the radio station anymore. That's just one of those things. Phone lines open again, by the way, 662-25-GHOST. If you'd like to share your ghost story with us, be very open to hearing it and love to get another call here before we wrap up this episode of the show. Another letter here says, Dear Tony and Jenny, my name's Hagen. I'm from Utah. I'm a huge fan of your podcast. Been listening to your podcast for about a month. I have a few stories to tell, but I want to share one in particular. I served in LDS mission for my church in Nebraska in Omaha. Just a little background. We were paired in groups of two, and we can be in an area anywhere from 1 month to 6 months. Anyway, there was a brother from our ward named Oscar. This happened in one of the areas I was serving in at the time, who would visit regularly, but he stopped coming to church and started acting not himself. He was always super friendly. Anyway, we called him one night and asked if we could stop by the next day, and he agreed. Fast forward to the next day, as soon as we entered his apartment, something felt off, but we didn't know the extent of what was going on while he was in the restroom. I heard Oscar talking loudly to Austin, and I washed my hands and went to the other door to see what was going on. And Austin typed a text on his phone and set the phone in front of me discreetly. And this part creeped me out. He said that something is controlling Oscar, and whatever it is had been attacking me verbally. We were both wanting to leave, so we asked him if we could say a prayer with him, and usually he was always welcome for praying, but he told us he wasn't in the mood to pray. So we asked him if we could give him a blessing, and he replied, "Your blessing didn't work last time." So we asked, "What do you want to?" We asked him, "Who do you want to give you the blessing?" And he said in a mocking tone, "Whoever has the most power." So Mansfield and I gave him a blessing and commanded whatever was possessing him to leave. Austin said he felt a chill run through him, and Oscar seemed to be fighting off whatever was controlling him because he started to act himself, but he still had that blank, unsettling stare that wasn't Oscar's. Needless to say, we didn't stick around very long, and we didn't visit him as often after that. Thanks for reading my story. I have more to tell. Love the show. I'm looking forward to hearing future podcasts. I can't say I've ever been in a situation like that, and I can't say I would know what to do if I ever came upon one. It would be very, very unsettling, obviously, to suddenly have a friend show up and or have something like that going on. I think I personally think after hearing all the stories that we have on this show, I think I'd be very, very scared. I'd be very, probably somewhat selfishly scared for myself of this is something dark, this is something demonic. Could it attach itself to me and come into my home or to my life? And, you know, that's it is. It's a very selfish way of thinking about it. But, you know, of course, you'd want to help your friend, but you also would be thinking about all the other possibilities of what could happen in that case. So, thank you. It was interesting. The other night, a friend of ours was doing a live ghost investigation, and we posted it up on our website or on our Facebook page. And the question I wanted him to ask, and he did ask it eventually because there was some odd things going on the investigation, was, are you from, did you ever walk the earth or did you not ever walk the earth to the entity that they were trying to communicate with? And it was asked with hesitance, and I don't blame him. Because he had said, without getting into too much detail about it, that something had, in fact, followed him back at one time. And he tries to avoid getting into those situations in an investigation if they end up finding or believing something is somewhat demonic. Probably not the best to continue tinkering with, if you will. And that's probably a good rule of thumb. Sarah writes in, I love hearing about your daughter being dead Elsa. I also have a slightly morbid young daughter who insisted I show her a zombie dress so she can play zombie apocalypse at school. That is funny. I talk with our littlest one who is three because I take her to school in the morning, and it's funny. I'd ask her, you know, what are you going to play, you know, today? And it's run the gamut of a lot of things this last year, from playing, and you'll enjoy this title, Going Back to the Future. She wanted to play Going Back to the Future with some of her friends. And it's funny because I remember playing some of this stuff as a kid when I was little too. And then it was Ghostbusters. The thing is, a lot of kids didn't know about Ghostbusters yet because the movie hasn't come out. And I think a lot of them probably not super familiar with it unless they have, you know, a parent like me. Sometimes in the backyard, we do play zombies. She doesn't know what The Walking Dead is. I've never exposed her to that, and I wouldn't. But she does know about zombies just from Halloween, and, you know, they're, you know, kind of the cartoon version. I, you know, she watches Scooby-Doo, and there's zombies and stuff on there. So we do play what we call The Walking Dead in our backyard, but it's not like she's, like, watching the show and, like, I want to be Rick, you know, or anything like that. She's just, you know, it's like the Scooby-Doo version of it, but it is fun. And I, you know, I did a lot of the same stuff too when I was a kid. So I think what's the worst thing that could happen? You grow up and end up hosting a ghost show in your office garage for a living. That's got to be the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. And it's working out okay. So, thank you for that, that story. And sharing that with us. A phone line again, it's open 662-25-GHOST if you want to call in. We'll be doing this this live cast for a few more minutes, so it's your last call, really, if you want to get in and get on the air here live with us and get your story on the air. Another letter. Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Hagen from Utah again. I have another story to share that happened to me when I was younger. I had a close friend of mine that moved to another town that wasn't too far away, and I'd go visit every now and then. I'd share the first time I went to his house that his family moved to. A lot of houses in town are older, and his house had an old tombstone in the backyard. It was broken over, and you couldn't read what it said from years of wear. I don't know if it was a grave for a person or not. I thought it was odd, anyway. And back to the story. I would often have late nights playing video games on his GameCube or would watch movies and would crash on the floor or on their couch downstairs. I want to mention that we were the only ones upstairs, and there was a small hallway that led from the stairs to his room and his sister's room, who was not there at the time. One night, it was 2 or 3 a.m., we were in Nick's room playing video games. I call you there. Are you there? Caller, are you there? If you're listening to us on the stream, don't do that. Listen to us on your phone. And caller, if you're there, hang on. We'll go to your story right after we're done reading this one. One night it was 2 or 3 and we were in Nick's room playing video games, and we had the door to his room open, cracked to keep the noise the TV would make from disturbing anyone that was sleeping downstairs, and we heard footsteps coming up the wooden stairs. We stopped the game and opened the door, and the sound stopped. We opened the door, so we walked down the hallway to the stairs, and no one was there. So we went back to what we were doing, and the footsteps continued down the hallway, so I jumped up and flung the door open, and no one was there. We just sat there with the door cracked open, and we heard his sister's door open and creak open, then shut. So we both ran to his sister's door, opened the door, and her lights were on, so we turned them off, went back to Nick's room, and we shut the door, and as soon as we did, the doorknob to our door started rattling violently. I flung the door open, and nothing was there. I didn't sleep good that night. I felt like we were being watched. Thanks for reading my story. Try to keep it short. Love the show. That would be very creepy. I mean, that's, you know, from a horror movie almost, where you have the rattling doorknob and then lights turning on and off unexplained. I don't think that that's something you'd ever really want to personally experience. It looks like our caller there hung up while we had them on hold to go. So last call here if you want to get your ghost story on the air, 662-25-GHOST. Feel free to dial us up, and if you do so in the next minute or two, we can answer that call and get your story on the air. If you want to talk about anything as well, questions, you can do that on a phone call as well. Edwin says the call was from a spirit. I had a story to tell about the living. Oh, okay. Well, Edwin, that was you. Feel free to try calling us back here. The biggest thing that we have issue with is when we do the live shows, and it's kind of the old school radio thing with a delay. There's a slight delay on the feed that's going out, and when you're listening on the feed and I'm trying to talk, it doesn't work. You need to be listening on your phone when you're calling in to 662-25-GHOST. Carrie says, Tony, I know someone would be an amazing interview for you. They had a show that's getting picked up by Amazon Prime. They'd be very interested in doing the interview with you. I can email you the details if you like. Yes, Carrie, you can do that. In fact, you can email me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, and we can coordinate that. Excuse me. That way. Almost went through a whole show without coughing. That's a first. There we go. Took my water, and now everything is better. All right, so that's going to, I think, wrap up the episode here today, unless we get a call in the next couple of seconds at 662-25-GHOST. I want to thank you guys for listening and watching us on Facebook Live, and for all the questions that you've sent in today. Now my next order of business here is going to be to tear all of this down. Trust me, I'm not looking forward to it. Get it torn down and then get it all set back up in the next couple of days so we can continue on with the show from our new studio. It's exciting stuff. I'm excited. A lot of work, a lot of headache, but I'm excited about it. All right, everybody. For the last time from this studio, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for supporting the show. From Jenny and myself, we'll talk to you soon from a new studio in the coming weeks. Have a good one, everybody.